Thanks so much for once again joining us for an uplifting word. Dolores and I want to share from the word with you today. Our message is entitled Choosing Patience, something we all need help doing, choosing patience. David ran from King Saul. Saul issued death threats against this young David, and with his band of men, David fled. Well, Saul and his army of 3,000 pursued David, trying to overtake him and get rid of this nuisance. One evening, as David and his men were hiding from Saul, David noticed that the army that followed Saul laid down and everyone went to sleep. No one stood guard. So David took a fellow soldier named Abishai and said, "Let's go into the camp." So David and his friend snuck into the camp, and sure enough, in the middle of all these soldiers lay King Saul. His spear was stuck in the ground at his head. A water container was there by the spear. So David and his friend crawled to near Saul. And his friend, Abishai, said, "David, David, this is the time we can get rid of Saul. If you'll let me, I can pin him to the ground. I won't strike him even once. This is the time the Lord prophesied of when you would become king of Israel, shepherd of Israel. Let me kill him." Basically, this man was saying, "David, let's speed things up. God prophesied that you would become king, so let's help the Lord. Let's cause things to go more speedily than we expected. Let's kill Saul." But David responded, "The Lord forbid such impatience." You see, listen to David's words from 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse number 11.
"But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head and let's go."
David said, "The Lord forbid. I'll never act that impatiently." You see, impatience attempts to speed things up through human effort. That was the difference between David and his companion that night so long ago. His companion wanting to exert human effort through human ability caused things to go more speedily than anyone expected. Basically, David said, "I'll wait for God's time." Listen to this verse, 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse number 10.
"As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish."
David said, "I'll not attack Saul because his time will come. The Lord will remove him at the proper moment." You see, patience depends entirely upon God's speed, God's timing, God's way of doing things. So that particular evening, David had the chance to remove King Saul, to kill him. But he didn't take the opportunity because he wanted God to do his will in divine time. So, let's look at the scripture today and see how we can choose patience. First of all, we choose patience by understanding the consequences of impatience. You see, impatience intrudes upon God's supreme control of all things. Now, when you love the Lord, when He means the world to you, you don't want to intrude into His sovereign domain. But that's exactly what impatience does. It intrudes on God's supreme control. And impatience always creates confusion and conflict. We go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 16. Sarah and Abram had no children. After years and years of waiting for a child and believing that God was going to give them a child, they came up with their own plan. Sarah said to Abraham, "Take my maidservant Hagar as your wife, and through her bear a child for me." They did so, and Ishmael was born. And ever since that time, there has been conflict and confusion in the Middle East because Abram and Sarah intruded into God's supreme control of the events of life. We don't want to do that, brother, sister. Impatience basically insults God's intelligence. Did you know that God scheduled our lives? Even our coming to earth was scheduled by God. We didn't come to earth merely by the choice of our parents. Our parents were actually God's instruments in bringing us to earth at just the right moment. Listen to these words in Psalm 139, verse number 16.
"Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be."
And notice what it says about the Lord and your birth. "Your eyes saw my unformed substance." What's the next phrase, Dee?
"All the days ordained for me were written in your book."
Did you hear that? All the days ordained are planned. All the days planned for you were written in God's book. The book of life is not merely a list of names. The book of life is your name, but under it is written God's plan for you. God's purpose is for you. And so it says here in Psalm 139, verse 16, that God scheduled our life. All the days ordained for us were written in His book. So you see, we don't want to act impatiently or impulsively. God's infinite loving intelligence designed a schedule for us. Forcing things to speed up ignores God's intelligence. Whenever we force life to speed up, or we force people to speed up to do things our way, or to get saved in our timing, or to be blessed in our timing, we are ignoring God's intelligence. I just recalled a verse in Galatians. In fact, I'd like for you to find it. It's Galatians chapter number 4. I want you to notice what it says about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, and I think it's verse number 4. It says that He was born of a woman, born under the law,
when the time had fully come.
That's it right there. When God's the time had fully come.
God sent His Son.
There it is, my brother and sister. When the time had fully come. Did you know God can say the same thing about you and me? His purpose and plan designed for you to be born when you were born. So every day of our lives, God's in control. So impatience, not only does it create conflict and confusion, but it always misses God's way and slows things down. Impatience always misses God's way and slows things down. Listen to these verses from Proverbs. Chapter 19, verse number 2.
It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way.
Let's look at the last part of the verse. It is not good to be hasty and miss the way. Hastiness, impatience, causes us to miss the Lord. Let's go to chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse number 5.
Haste leads to poverty.
That's right. Haste always leads to not only poverty financially, but poverty in our relationship to God, poverty in our witnessing. I recall one time I was determined to witness to this particular person. And so I jumped the gun. I was too impatient, and I tried in my own might to bring this person to Jesus, and I just made things worse and not better. Most of the time, I did wait on the Lord, and God opened opportunities for me to witness. But this particular occasion, I pushed the door open through human effort, and I didn't succeed. I just turned this person off from the Lord. So you see, impatience always misses God's way and slows things down. Let's look at a man named Moses in the book of Exodus. Moses is about 40 years old now, and he decided that it was time for him to help God. Let's see what it says. Exodus 2, verse 11 and 12.
One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them in their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
You see there? Moses knew God's will, but he tried achieving God's will in his own impatient way. He thought all the Israelis would rally around him and follow him in a great revolution against the Egyptians, but that wasn't God's plan, and it wasn't God's time. Let's go on to verse 15, the same chapter.
When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian.
He fled from Pharaoh and spent 40 years in Midian. So you see, Moses' impatience slowed things down. So brother, sister, we want to choose patience by understanding the horrible consequences of impatience. Secondly, we want to wait for God to act. We want to choose patience by waiting for God to act. Let's read again David's words to his companion, the man who wanted to kill Saul and speed things up. When he suggested that they destroy Saul, here was David's reaction. 1 Samuel 26, verse number 10.
As surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish.
There David said, let's not strike Saul. His time will come, and he will perish. Basically, David was saying, let's wait for God to act. In fact, I want to share with you a verse from Isaiah that has helped me so very, very much in my entire Christian life. I'm reading this from the New International Version. In fact, I'll tell you what, we'll read the entire verse, and then I want to pick out part of it. I hope you have your pencil ready. It's Isaiah 64, verse number 4. Here it says,
since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him.
Okay, I want to pick out part of the verse. It says, God, and then ellipsis or three little dots, God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Now, you might have another version besides the NIV, but it will say basically the same thing. God inevitably acts on our behalf. He inevitably acts in behalf of his own plans for us whenever we wait for him. So David said to Abishai, he said, let's not strike Saul. Let's wait for his time to come. And here's what happened. Sometime later, Saul and his sons, Jonathan, and the other sons, went into battle against the Philistines. And the battle went badly for Israel. Here's what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 6.
So Saul and his three sons and his armor-bearer and all his men died together that same day.
pitiful, horrible event. But it shows us that Saul's time came. He died in battle. But David didn't lift his hand against Saul. He did not act impatiently because he was willing to wait for God to act. Now, brother, sister, this word wait is something that we struggle with. We think of waiting as doing nothing, but that's not true. Waiting is not inactivity. Waiting is calm diligence. Much like a waiter in a restaurant. They don't stand around and do nothing. No, they keep their attention on the needs of those at table. They fill our water glasses. They ask us if we need anything. So waiting on God is calm diligence. You go ahead and do God's will. You keep living for Jesus. You keep performing your job and taking care of your family. You do everything. But you know that God's time for moving in your behalf is always coming. Look at Jesus. Jesus was born the Son of God. His father was God. His mother was Mary. Well, he was born the Son of God, but when he was 12 years old, he wanted so desperately to start his ministry. He, Joseph and Mary, along with thousands and thousands of other Jewish pilgrims, traveled to Jerusalem for a great festival. When Joseph and Mary departed, Jesus stayed behind in the temple, discussing the word of God with the authorities, the religious leaders. Everyone was astonished at Jesus' wisdom, his insight into the scriptures. I mean, this 12-year-old kid was basically more than a match for the doctors of religion of his day. Jesus was hungry to begin his ministry. But Joseph and Mary returned. They found Jesus. And Jesus submitted to them. Let's look at what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51.
Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them.
Jesus was obedient to Joseph, his stepfather and mother. The Son of God was obedient to them. He learned carpentry, and he became known as a carpenter. And for 18 years, Jesus waited for God's time to come. Jesus would have missed Heavenly Father's will had he rebelled against Joseph and Mary and said, I'm starting my ministry right now. No. He was a faithful son, a faithful carpenter. His stepfather probably passed away, and then Jesus became the sole breadwinner of the family. As the oldest son, he would have become responsible for supporting his mother and his younger stepbrothers and stepsisters. But he waited 18 years until God's time came for him to begin his public ministry. So you see, he was not inactive. He was very diligent as he waited on God's time. Brother, sister, God's going to bless you. God's going to give you the position you want, the responsibility you want. God's going to give you opportunities to do this or that. Just wait on the Lord. He cares about you more than you can imagine. God values you so much that he gave up his son Jesus for you. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, because we are his treasured ones. So, brother, sister, God has not forgotten about your desires, your wishes, your ambitions. The ability to wait on God comes from trusting in Heavenly Father's timing. It is not a matter of resignation where we just say, oh, I'll do my best to wait. I mean, I have no other choice. No, it isn't that at all. Waiting is not resignation to the inevitable. It is trusting Heavenly Father's perfect timing. Do you read for us Acts chapter 1, please, verse number 7.
He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority."
Look at the last part of the verse. It says that Father has set the times and dates by His own authority. The events of our life, the answer to prayer, the fulfillment of our desires, doesn't depend on what we can do. It depends on us trusting God's timing. He set the timing, the dates, the seasons by His own authority. So, brother, sister, He's doing what's best for you and me. His timing might not be what you want, but it's perfect. Let me give you these verses from Psalm 31, verse 14 and the first phrase of verse 15. They can be so calming to us whenever we are wanting God to hurry up and do things in our time. Psalm 31, verse 14, 15.
I trust in You, O Lord. I say You are my God. My times are in Your hands.
Now, what are the three things He said here? What's the first thing, Dee?
I trust in You, O Lord.
That word trust. I trust in You, O Lord. I say,
You are my God.
Okay. He's claiming that God is His and that He's in control of His life. Because look at this third phrase it says,
My times are in Your hands.
Isn't that great? My times. Why don't you put your name in there? Your times are in God's hand, God's control. So, brother, sister, God always wants the supreme best for us. So let's relax. Let's not force things to happen. Yes, we attempt this or that, but we don't force things to happen through human effort. When all the doors are closed, maybe it's time to sit down and wait. Okay, my times are in Your hand. So, we want to understand the consequences of impatience. We want to wait for God to act. And thirdly, we want to yield to our indwelling patience. That's right. We want to yield to our indwelling patience. We most often focus on our impatience. We talk about, oh, I wish I had more patience. I wish I could wait better. Well, let's quit talking about our impatience. And let's redirect our attention to the Holy Spirit in us. Let's start thinking about the other person who lives in us. Let's read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. It tells you something about you and the Holy Spirit.
He who unites himself with the Lord is one with Him in spirit.
It says that you are one with God in spirit. Your human spirit and the Holy Spirit are meshed. They are so thoroughly mixed that it's difficult to tell the one from the other. We are one in spirit with the Holy Spirit. So we want to quit discrediting self. We want to quit talking about our impatience, our lack of ability to wait, and we want to start giving credit to the other person inside of us, the Holy Spirit. And here's what it says about the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, who lives in me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience.
Look at that. The fruit of the Spirit, the product of the Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, He brings what? Love, joy, peace. Fourthly, patience. So the patience of the Holy Spirit lives in you. The love of the Holy Spirit lives in you. The joy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not leave His emotions in heaven when He moved into us. He brought His emotions with Him. His emotions are part of His person, just like your emotions are part of your person. So, the Holy Spirit brought God's patience to live in you and me. We want to become Christians who give credit to the Holy Spirit as the author of all patience, and He lives in us. So, when we start feeling pushed by impatience, we want to choose to believe in your powerful indwelling patience. That patience of the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Choose to yield to it. Say no to the feeling of impatience because you have faith that the Holy Spirit's patience dwells in you. Listen to Jesus' words. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse number 15.
All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you.
Jesus said the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine, my possessions. He will take from what I am and show it to you so you can have what I am. The patience of Jesus dwells in us. The overflowing, overwhelming patience of God dwells in us. So we give ourselves to the patience of the Holy Spirit whenever we feel pushed to act impulsively or impatiently. And then the Holy Spirit causes us to become people like David who refuse to speed things up and who wait for God to act. And when you wait for God to act, He's going to do something more wonderful than you ever imagined possible. Jesus, we love you. We praise you for your help. We thank you, God, that you love us, that you sent the Holy Spirit into us, that you gave us the Word of God, and through the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we shall be people who choose patience. In the name of Jesus, amen.